You're listening to the Giant Bomb Extreme Girl Advice Line. You found the right place. My heart belongs to Giant Bomb. Giant Bomb. Hello and welcome to the Giant Bomb Extreme Girl Advice Line. I'm your host, John.
And I'm your co-host, Dawn.
And we are ready to take your call. So, it's been a little while since the last time we recorded. I think about 3 weeks, right?
Something like that, yeah.
And we took some advice from our first thread, and hopefully we are back and better than ever. First off, we're going to start using our real names. John and Dawn, because Righteous86 and Duskvamp was kind of cumbersome, I think.
A little bit, yeah. I just thought people might know you as Righteous86, and I don't know, might get confused if I just start calling you John randomly.
Yeah, but I guess they can find us in the thread when we post, so it's not too big of a problem.
Yeah, they're smarter than us.
Mm-hmm.
They can work it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're trying to stop giggling, even though it is a bit of my nervous disposition to giggle.
Yeah, but the farther we get into this, I think that'll just naturally kind of, our nerves will stop being so high and we won't be as giggly.
Hopefully.
Touch yeah, wood.
Not making any promises.
And I also got a new microphone because my last one was not that great. I've got some Turtle Beaches for my birthday, so hopefully I sound a little bit better.
I got you a headset for your birthday.
Well, an Xbox headset. So I can use the Turtle Beach for this and the Xbox headset for Xbox.
Yeah. Okay.
They were very nice.
Yeah, maybe it's not as good, but I don't mind.
Two different headsets for two different uses. So it works out.
Okay.
So what's new with you, Doc?
Nothing too much, really. It's kind of the same old work, college. I have some exams coming up in biology next week, which I've been revising a lot for. And, someone had a poo in work in the changing room.
Wait, like, just on the ground or, like, in their clothes or...?
On the ground, in the men's fitting room. Because men are gross.
Did you, like, come across it, or did you just hear about it?
I heard about it, but I realized that I was in there with it, and I didn't know, because apparently it was there all evening, and we had customers going in and out, and no one said anything to me about it.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, without getting too graphic, was it, like, was it, like, an act of vandalism? Did they, like, really spread it across the room? Or was it, like, an emergency and they just, like, did it in a corner or something?
I'm hoping it was just an emergency. It wasn't, like, spread.
Just
it was
just
a little
pile.
A little formed poo. In the
Like the little cartoon poos you see where it's just like a little pyramid?
Yeah. We get
it's
that.
So
I've found a bag of wee in the women's before. Like a carrier bag of wee.
I don't even know how that would, like, work. How that would hold it, yes.
I didn't have any holes in it, so it was okay. I didn't pick it up, luckily. I was going to, but I was in a mood, and I thought, I'm not cleaning. I'm here to just pick up the clothes, not pick up rubbish. Which is lucky, because I would have splashed all over me.
Yeah, your bad attitude actually served you well for once.
Yeah. It was good. That's pretty much what happened in work. How about you?
Well, my roommate has been gone for the last 6 weeks, I think, because of his dog. I thought he was going to move out, actually. But
he was gone for 6 weeks because of his dog?
Yeah. He and I both work, like, regular full-time jobs, and a few months ago, our dog got so worried sick because it was lonely, I guess, that it started going, speaking of poo, it started pooing all over the house and, like, worried itself so sick that it was pooing blood, which is not a good thing. So he was basically, he had anxiety. So he was going to move back in with his parents so they could watch his dog while he was working.
Now, I get anxiety, but that doesn't happen to me.
You don't have bloody poos all over the house?
No. As far as I'm aware.
Thank God. But he didn't get a promotion he thought he was going to get that was going to make him work even longer hours. So he moved back in, and we're just going to try to deal with our anxious dog as best we can.
Yeah. How is he doing now?
He seems fine. He seemed to miss me a lot, which is weird because I barely ever play with him. I'm not much of a dog person.
He didn't care pets, about though. Me at all when I was there.
I give him some pets, though, so he knows me as the petter, I guess.
Yeah, he comes to you when he wants to feel good.
It's kind of weird when you say it like that. All right. Let's move on and talk about some games. Okay. It's time for What You Been Playing.
Okay, so lately I've been playing some Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney on my DS. My hand-me-down DS from you.
Yeah, I gave you my old one after I upgraded to the 3DS.
With a little broken bracket so it doesn't hold open. I have to hold it open.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, it still works, so I like it.
I gave you a bunch of games with it, too.
Yeah, and I've been enjoying Phoenix Wright. When I first started playing it, I pretty much sat there for a couple hours playing straight, and then I've gone back and forth to it now and then because of college. But I'm on the last trial story bit, last chapter even. And I'm liking it. I like the characters. I think they're really endearing.
Yeah. Phoenix Wright is probably one of my favorite video games ever.
Really?
It's the third one, I think, is probably in my top five. I think they're a really good series, like, all together. Like, they tie together pretty well, so.
Yeah. Well, I think you said that the last chapter ties into the next game, wasn't it?
Sorry?
Like, the last chapter. Well, there's, like, a bonus chapter.
Yeah, that's what you're in right now, I think.
Yeah,
It has, like, bonus, like, DS-specific tools and stuff, right? Like,
we've got the new like mechanisms for like examining evidence, the little spray to find blood, and powder for fingerprints. So then you blow on the screen to blow the powder, which was the first time I've ever used that, which is cool.
Yeah, a few games use it, but not too many. So when it actually does come up, it's either really cool or really frustrating.
Yeah,
I remember there was, I think it was Zelda Spirit Tracks. Which was a DS game where, like, you know, Zelda always has, like, musical instruments, like, magical musical instruments. You had a pan flute in that game. And near the end, you had to, like, either, like, just before or in the middle of a boss fight, you had to play your pan flute very specifically. And I think that gave people a lot of trouble because you had to blow on the microphone and, like, slide the pan flute left and right, like, perfectly to hit all the notes and everything.
Oh, right.
And I remember my roommate was playing that game and couldn't do it. Like, he was stuck at that part for days, and then I tried it and got it for him, like, the third time. So that really frustrated him. So, yeah, sometimes that stuff can be hit or miss, but I like the way Phoenix Wright does it, like, rotating objects and, like, dusting for fingerprints and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't think that's how real detectives do it, but
it's not too real.
But it works.
But the problem with that is that DS bonus case was part of like the re-release on the DS.
Right.
So it was like added to the game later. But the second and third game, when they moved those to the DS, they didn't add anything. So you'll have two more games where they never do that stuff again. And then when the DS game comes out, Apollo Justice, when you get up to that one, you'll have all that stuff back
again. Apollo Justice?
Yeah, it's kind of like a They have weird names in that those games, but I love those games. And Dick Gumshoe, that's a weird name, but he's probably one of the best video game characters ever, so.
He is funny. He's cute.
Yeah, I love Gumshoe. Who do you like in that game? What are some of your favorite characters?
Well, Gumshoe, probably my favorite.
Really?
Yeah. Why is that surprising? You like him.
I just thought it was cool that we like the same guy.
And Larry Butts. He's funny.
When something smells, it's usually the butts.
It is?
You probably haven't played in a while if you don't remember that, because they said it like 10 times during the course of the game.
What?
Yeah, forget it.
Okay. I like, what's her name? The new girl. Emma?
Oh, yeah.
I like her.
Emma Sky, I think.
She's quirky. Everything's scientific, which I like.
Yeah. You're a scientist.
That would be the kind of detective I would want to be.
Yeah.
A scientific kind.
I like it because of all the gadgets, so.
Yeah. So she's cool.
Hmm.
I think, does she carry on into the next one?
No, like, since she's part of the DS, like, type stuff, she doesn't come in again until Apollo Justice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
I'm still, like, halfway through, I think. I've done one day's trial, and now I'm looking for more evidence, so I'll let you know how I get on.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
What have you been playing?
I gave up on my quest to play through all of Dead Space before getting to Bioshock Infinite because I couldn't wait to play Bioshock Infinite.
No.
Partly because the first Bioshock is one of my favorite games, and then partly because I was worried I would wind up spoiling like the plot. I know you're really looking forward to playing Infinite, though, and you haven't yet, yeah. So I won't.
Yes, there are no spoilers right now.
Yeah, I won't really go into it, but I wound up being, I don't think it's as good as the first Bioshock on its own.
Really?
There are parts that are better, but as a game, I don't think it's as complete or as fun.
Mm.
But I still think it's...
See, I can't really, I don't want to ask too much because I don't want any spoilers.
I'll just say that I think it's a great game, but it's got a lot of flaws. Flaws that are really unimportant compared to what it does right, but they're still there, and they're kind of annoying when you notice them.
Hmm.
Aside from that, I'm almost done, I think, with Dead Space 3. I hadn't played that before, so...
Uh-huh.
How is it? I like it. It's a good game, but it's... I mean, everyone that's played it has made this complaint already, so this is kind of just repeating things, but... Dead Space 3 is not really a Dead Space game. Like,
how so?
The first two were like survival horror. Even the second one, which had more action in it, it was all about going through spooky locations, having monsters pop out, and like trying to struggle with not having enough health or ammo. But Dead Space 3 kind of gets rid of a lot of the spooky locations, and you have tons of weapons and tons of health and ammo, like, all the time. And it's more just about, like, going into a room and fighting tons of enemies until they're all dead and then moving on to the next room. And they had bits of that in the first two games. But in this one, it really seems like that's almost the whole game. And, like, those rooms take, like, 6 minutes to clear. Like, you're just fighting waves and waves of enemies.
Is it still scary?
No, I can't really think like of any scary parts from where I'm at least. There are these enemies who are kind of like cannibals, and they react to like bright lights or loud noises, so you can kind of like, they recommend that you sneak around them, and I think there's an achievement for sneaking past them without like getting attacked by them.
Yeah.
But because you have so much health and so much ammo and everything, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to. Like, it takes a lot longer to sneak past them. And they're easy to kill because you're so powerful.
So there's no point, really.
Yeah, it kind of makes more sense.
Unless you want the achievement.
Right. It kind of makes more sense to just mow them all down, because then you get more health and more ammo, because they drop it when you kill them.
Right.
So you're actually making things harder on yourself if you just sneak past them, I think.
Some people like that.
I would like it if I had to sneak past them. If it was like...
But you don't, yeah.
If it was like a threat, if you got caught, like, it was like, oh, shit. But It's actually probably better to fight them, so there's really no punishment for not sneaking past.
Right.
And, like,
and
right
is
off,
this the last one, then?
For the latest one, and there have been rumors that EA isn't going to make any more because this didn't sell well enough, but they've denied that, so it's hard to say.
You see this? You haven't finished it yet, have you?
No, but They have said, I think, that's like the end of the trilogy. Which could mean anything, because there's no such thing as a real ending in video games anymore.
Yeah, unless everyone dies or something.
And then they'll just bring them back, or bring someone in that's just like them, that looks a little different.
His long lost son.
Yeah. And, like, I knew it was off to a bad start. Like, the first level is just, like, a big action scene with, like, quick time events and everything. And then the second level, you're running from humans for the first time. Like, you're fighting humans with guns. And there's, like, a crouch button so you can hide behind cover. Like, it's like Gears of War, just with a Dead Space skin on top.
Like, so there's a lot more action in it.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, duck behind cover and shoot soldiers in the head. That's not what I played Dead Space for. So that is kind of annoying, but it's still a good game. It's just, it's too similar to everything else out there now. They're kind of cutting back on all this stuff. I've heard the Awakening DLC, which takes place at the end of the game, like after the end of the game, is more scary, like more horror focused. So maybe I'll play that and we'll see. But
there's co-op in this one, isn't there?
Yeah. And
was that co-op in the others?
No, this is the first one. I haven't played it yet, but after I beat the game, I'll probably play through with my brother or something and see how that is.
We can play, maybe, if it's not as scary this time.
Play as the other guy. I don't know, you still like it scary. It's tense, I guess, because it's kind of like how people found like Resident Evil 5. Like, the first few Resident Evil games were, like, straight up just horror, like, trying to survive when you don't have enough health and stuff. And then 4 and 5 made it more like, it's more about being surrounded by enemies and trying to survive. You've got tons of ammo and everything, but you have to react quickly. And so it's a different kind of scary. It's more tense.
Right. And is the co-op campaign just the same story?
Yeah, you play through the same story.
Are you both Isaac, or...?
No, there's another character named Carver, who is in the single-player version. But in that version, the cutscenes will always have him say, I'll meet you over where you're going. And then when you get there, there'll be a cutscene, and you guys are together, and you'll do something. And then he'll be like, oh, I'll see you over here, or I'll go to this way, you go that way. So you're just, like, constantly bumping into him, but not having him next to you. But if you play co-op, it's always like, well, let's go this way, and you go together.
Okay.
So they actually do have...
So like, he's not secretly doing, like, a bad guy?
No.
He just meets up?
It's, they just recorded two different versions, where he's with you all the time, or where he's just, like, along for the ride, kind of thing.
Okay. Sounds good.
Well, that's an interesting
maybe
take
we can try the co-op this summer.
Yeah. I think it's online only, though, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So maybe we won't try it this summer.
But maybe this summer we could play Guacamelee. That looks pretty cool. And that's split screen only, or one screen only.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched the Quick Look yet, but I heard that it's a Metroidvania, and I like those, so.
And Grumpy Cat's in it, and you like Grumpy Cat.
Grumpy Cat's probably the only meme that I actually really, like, I can't get sick of. I'm not much of a meme person, but I love Grumpy Cat.
Yeah, I do too. So we can try that, maybe.
Yeah, sounds good.
We have been playing quite a lot of Letterpress lately.
Yeah, and you are kicking my butt. And as an English major, that's even more embarrassing, that I am terrible at letterpress.
I thought you were just letting me win.
What's that?
I thought you were just letting me win, but I guess I'm just that good.
Yeah, I wouldn't let you win 20 times in a row.
You also played a game with Vinny once, didn't you?
Yeah. And he kicked my butt, too, so... I think it's more because I'm focused on trying to get, like, clever words in, that I'm ignoring all of the strategy, like, trying to monopolize the board. I'm too busy trying to get, like...
Trying to act smart.
Yeah, like... like, very complex words that people wouldn't normally think of. And then there are simple words that are longer and would take up, like, more valuable real estate on the board that I'm just not paying attention to.
Well, that's your own fault.
Yeah,
trying to be a smart ass.
I'm too smart for my own good. I've been playing the iPhone, which I think is the same as the Facebook version, right? The iPhone version of You Don't Know Jack.
Right.
I think it's the same as the Facebook, or at least they tie together. They have a daily, like, 5 questions, and I usually play that on my walk to work. We used to play that together, but I haven't really seen you play much lately.
I just haven't played much lately. I don't know why. I guess I'm just playing too much Candy Crush on Facebook.
Don't get me started on Candy Crush. I keep seeing people talk about it, so...
It's not something that I want to go around talking about. It's just a little casual game. I don't love it.
But it is
kind of addictive.
I've seen more and more people playing it and talking about it, so I guess it's like the next big thing with like casual games.
Seems it. I've just seen some adverts on the TV for it.
Do you think you stopped playing You Don't Know Jack because of like the American-focused questions, or you just kind of got out of the habit?
Just got out of the habit. I think I just kind of... I used to sit down on the computer, and when I'd go on Facebook, I'd remember, oh, today... my free game of You Don't Know Jack time, but now not so much. And there were a lot of American questions that I didn't get.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just a good like 6-minute time waster for me, like when I'm walking to the train or waiting.
Yeah, but I still don't know how you can play and walk at the same time.
It's probably not the safest thing in the world, but
I hope you don't cross roads doing it.
I always pause the game when I cross the road.
I don't think you can pause You Don't Know Jack.
You can't. I don't. I just keep playing. Hopefully he's narrating at that point so I can look up instead of waiting for the next this or that.
Right. Mm. Like, pretty much all you need is this or that. Because you've done amazing and then... you don't get know any of the questions.
Oh, no, you're thinking of the Jack Attack at the end.
Oh, Jack Attack, yeah, that's the one.
That was the big problem with the console one that they released a year or two ago. Like, you got, like, 1,000 points for, $1,000 for each correct answer. And only one, and it was, like, fastest finger one. So, you could have been, like, doing amazing for the first 9 questions. But then, you have a punk kid who's got a faster finger than you. And...
Mm-hmm.
Your score just goes out the window. I think a lot of people didn't like that about the console game. But other than that, it was really good. I liked it.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed playing it a little bit.
Hopefully You Don't Know Jack stays around, because it's nice every now and then. And it's a Chicago-based company, so maybe someday I'll work there.
Didn't you apply?
I applied as a writer once, but like I found out about the job the day before... submissions were due, so I kind of stayed up all night, and I think the cover letter that I wrote was probably half incoherent.
You were trying to use too many big words.
Yeah.
Again.
And I hadn't slept, and I had to go to work immediately after I submitted, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably didn't go over too well. I never heard back from them, so...
No.
Oh. Well, thanks for opening up old wounds. That's nice. Every now and then, when we give advice, people reach out to us with an update on their situation. Do Did we get any responses this week, Dawn?
Yeah, Bane Firelord got back to me. We mentioned him last week. He's actually deleted the post, so I can't read it out word for word anymore, but it was something along the lines of a girl in college that he worked with now and then. He liked, but didn't know how to approach her. And he was also worried that his best friend, being a girl, would cause some problems. So I asked him for an update, and he said, as it turns out, the girl is asexual, so I guess it's back to the drawing board, pour moi. Oh, well.
A bit of French.
I can't speak French. I found out through a third party, which corroborated a rumor I'd heard. I'm just glad I found out before I had the chance to make a fool of myself.
So she turned out to be asexual, at least
according to people that know her? Someone else, yeah.
I don't really... I think someone else in our thread mentioned that they were asexual.
Yeah.
And I don't really... I know that there are some people that are genuinely asexual, but I think it's like a much smaller percentage than the people that claim to be asexual.
Right.
I think some people just have no motivation or no sex drive, and they kind of just give up and call themselves asexual, I guess. I'm not her necessarily, or even the person in that thread. But I think asexual has become one of those things that people just label themselves as, just like depressed or ADD or OCD even. People just say, oh yeah, I have that because I don't like anyone.
Yeah. I mean, I've had long periods where I just haven't liked anyone. Like, I remember my late teens, there was just no one in college that I liked. No celebrities, which was a first for me, because as a teenager I was obsessed with Anthony Kiedis and Billy Joe Armstrong and all that.
Yeah. All guys that look nothing like
yeah.
little stringy guys when I'm bigger.
Little stringy? Anthony Kiedis isn't stringy.
Isn't he very slender, slim?
He's slender and, like, buffed.
Is he buff?
Yeah.
Or is he just...
He's always getting his top off. Is he dehydrated, you say?
Yeah, just to make those muscles pop.
No, he drank a lot. Just not the right thing.
There's a difference, though, between not liking anyone and not finding, like, either gender attractive. I'm sure you still found people attractive at that time.
Not so much. I really started to think, is there something up with me?
I've never felt that way, so...
I guess it just really depends. Also, I mean, the fact he found out through a third party and that he'd heard rumours about it. It depends, I guess, on third party, whether they're reliable. Do they know this girl very well, or are they just telling him the rumours that they've heard, basically?
It sounds like he's made up his mind, though, that he's just scratched this one up to bad luck and moved on, so.
Yeah.
Either way, I guess it's a moot point.
Okay.
What was cool, though, was he had mentioned, I think, that they had similar interests because he had seen some t-shirts that she was wearing.
Yeah.
And I think you had, like, hypothetically used...
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who is an example, and it turns out that's exactly what their mutual interest was. So, that was a nice little coincidence.
Yeah. I knew it'd be something like that. Doctor Who's...
But if you're ever in a situation like that again, you can always just bust out some kind of Doctor Who-related pickup line, like, I have a TARDIS now, I just need a companion. Something like that.
Yeah. Love that. Have you been thinking about that one since the last podcast?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the best I came up with. After 3 weeks, I have a notebook with a bunch of scribbled out pickup lines, and that was the closest I could get.
That's not bad.
Still nothing as good as your sonic screwdriver joke from the last podcast.
Can't beat a throbbing screwdriver.
True. All right. Now that we've got the fun and games out of the way, let's get to the nitty gritty. People have relationship problems, and hopefully we have their relationship answers. So let's open the mailbag.
So the first question comes in from Sexy Toad. He sent us an email, and it reads, "Hello, Righteous 86, or Dusk Vamp. Just thought I'd shoot you an idea, topic for you two. I recently came into somewhat of a relationship. I met her on a game we play together online. So the thing is, it's an online relationship. Who would know better than you two? So I guess I'm just looking for a bit of advice. She lives on the other side of the USA, and as of now, it's not likely we'll actually be able to visit each other. Online relationships, I say, are sketchy and somewhat awkward."
Thanks.
"Then again, I guess I'm just an awkward person. Would love to hear your guys' and gals' thoughts." Basically, he says, an online relationship, I assume, comes with problems, such as trust, not actually seeing each other in person, and so on. Would love to hear how your two thoughts on how to maintain this relationship.
Okay. So they're cross-country. They met in a video game online. Does it say that they are in a relationship, or he just likes her? It's hard to...
Somewhat of a relationship.
I guess, first off, it kind of depends on, like, how old they are and things like... There are some specifics that come into this that affect things. Like, we were both adults when we met, so... While it was expensive, I guess, for us to go visit each other, it wasn't, like, a burden that we had to put on our parents, or we didn't have to ask permission, I guess.
Yeah.
To meet up, which would probably be a bit of a roadblock. And if your kids, I don't know that, if you're still, like, dependent on your parents, I don't know that an online relationship is really feasible. Because if you can't, like, make decisions about your relationship, like, when to meet and when to go on vacation or when to have people over,
yeah,
it's a lot harder than it is otherwise.
Yeah, and I would expect it, her parents, if she is young, I don't know how old they are, not really liking her meeting someone they met online. I mean, my mum, she was okay, I guess, because we talked for about nearly a year before you came.
Yeah, about a year.
Yeah. And because you came to visit me, it wasn't as bad.
Yeah.
My mum had spoken to you on Skype and...
I kind of knew that, being the guy, I kind of had to be the one to take the risk. And, I mean, I still could have been kidnapped and raped or murdered, but I think it's probably a little less likely. So I knew that I was going to have to be the one to put myself out there like that.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, you need to Skype, I'd say. You know, see each other, at least.
Yeah, it's kind of complicated because when we were talking, we didn't really go into it thinking we were going to start dating. We were just talking and getting to know each other and stuff. And we actually, I think, initially decided that we weren't going to, even though we had feelings for each other, we weren't going to hold the other person responsible.
Yeah, we both said if we meet someone else, then that's life, you know. We're on the other sides of the pond, so.
Yeah, we didn't want to hold each other back in case a more realistic possibility came up.
Yeah.
But I think eventually we decided that for our own reasons, we didn't want to meet anyone else or go out with anyone else.
Yeah, because I remember 4th of July, you were going to your family's lake house and your cousin's friend was going to be going. And she told you that her friend was interested in you or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't really like that, so.
Yeah, and I think after realizing that, we kind of decided, well, if we feel this strongly, we have to take the next step.
Yeah.
And start planning to meet up, because no matter how flowery the talk or how much you think you feel for someone, how in love you think you are, until you actually meet, it might feel real, but I don't think it really is.
No. I mean, it's almost like sometimes you can be speaking to someone and you can speak to them for years online and you almost don't really see them as a person, mm-hmm. because you just see them as like type, you know, or you just hear a voice, so you don't, it's hard to imagine actually being in the same room as them. And then once you finally meet, they can seem like a completely different person.
So I don't think that time that we spent like talking to each other was a waste. We were still laying the groundwork.
Oh, yeah. But it wasn't a waste.
No, but it wasn't, as much as we probably would have protested at the time, it wasn't a real relationship yet.
No, I mean, we called each other like pseudo boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
We didn't want to make anything official until we'd met.
Yeah, and...
and known that it was...
We were really lame in that instead of putting, oh, in a relationship on Facebook, we just removed it.
Single.
So it didn't say we were single anymore. But there are lots of tricks and things that we do to keep the bond fresh over the long distance. I guess we don't have to really get into the workarounds we did with our whole long distance international thing, because they're not from two different countries. But we played a lot of games together. We Skyped pretty regularly, both video and audio. You probably should, no matter what excuses they have, you probably should have a video chat with the person before ever planning on meeting them, because like Dawn said, sometimes people aren't what they seem.
Yeah, you don't want a shock at the airport.
Yeah, we had made sure all of that. We had like become friends on Facebook and saw that all of the stories that we had shared with each other checked out. We saw like, oh, he mentioned having a friend named Mike, and here's a picture of him with this guy named Mike in a situation like he mentioned before. Like, we were able to hold each other accountable for all the stories and things that we had said over the course of a year. It's hard to keep up a lie for a year, especially when you're an open book with things like Facebook and, like her pictures matched what she looked like on the video camera and things like that. So, and the voices sound the same. You just have to make sure that you're talking to who you think you're talking to. And
yeah. And you really should find some way to meet each other, even if it's in a year.
Yeah.
Because if you do feel that you could make something of this, then you need to meet. Because it wouldn't work if you'd never met, obviously.
Yeah. But in the meantime, I guess, just try to... like, Dawn and I hang out every Sunday. We just spend all Sunday together. Yeah.
Sunday's our date.
Playing games or chatting on Skype or FaceTime.
And we watch movies or TV together over Skype.
Yeah, we screen share because Netflix doesn't have the same like movies in each country.
Yeah.
Or like if we're watching a TV show that's only American or only British. But like I watch... Animal Planet's My Cat from Hell with Dawn, because she really likes cats. But she introduced me to Gavin and Stacey, QI, and The Mighty Boosh. So just, try to either start the videos at the same time and then just talk together while you watch them, or screen share and watch them. It seems silly, and we probably look like dorks from the outside, but it really is a good it kind of makes it feel like you're together when you're watching the show and yeah. just talking.
You're just hanging out, casually watching some TV together.
Yeah, you kind of have...
Even though you're 4,000 miles away.
You have to find long-distance ways to do, like, typical relationship things. So...
Yeah.
Just...
You need to have time hanging out, just talking, instead of talking on the game.
Yeah.
Because you can be talking about the game, you don't know that you can actually hold a conversation together outside of it.
And so... And there are issues that come up. Like, I'm not much of a texter. I actually get annoyed by texting sometimes. But I know for our relationship to work, we have to basically be in constant contact. We have to text all the time.
Yeah.
Because...
What are you eating? Yeah. What are you up to? What are you watching?
And in a regular relationship, that would annoy the crap out of me, basically. But...
And me.
But since we're so far apart, we kind of have to... make that allowance so that the other person still feels like they're a part of our lives.
Yeah, and it doesn't annoy me anyway.
Right.
But and if we were together all the time anyway and you were just always texting me that.
Right.
And yeah.
But since we can't share any part of our lives together, we have to share every part of our life together.
Yeah.
And that goes for like the date night too. Date night can probably get pretty repetitive or feel like an obligation sometimes because it's like it's almost like a job every Sunday. I'm not speaking about our specifically.
Yeah.
I just use Sunday as
Careful.
An example. If it comes off like an obligation then because it's a schedule and you have to plan around it and things like that. But it's something you need to do and you need to accept that. To make
but
it
you
work.
You need to enjoy it.
I do enjoy it. Oh, God. We're going to get in our first fight on on the podcast. But
I'm sorry I'm such a chore.
I think you understand the point I'm trying to make, though.
Yeah, I know.
And to get into that, fights are going to happen, and you are going to get jealous, and you are going to get frustrated with the other person. And I know people say that long distance is really hard, but for us, it doesn't really seem like it has been. And I think the key to that is that we are completely and almost embarrassingly open with each other and honest.
Yeah. He's told me some things.
I've had a lot of relationships where people like to play games, or if they're jealous, they won't tell you, or if they have an issue with something you did, they're just like, oh no, forget it. Kind of brush it off. But you can't do that long distance because any jealousy or any problems you have, you're going to be stuck by yourself stewing in it.
And you can't give someone the cold shoulder from this distance.
And that's just going to make things 10 times worse than it would in a regular relationship too. But actually it winds up being pretty healthy because then we are completely open with each other. I do feel like I can tell her that I'm jealous about something, or it's a lot of like saying, this is how I feel, and then her explaining.
What can I do to
right
stop you feeling like that?
Or how that makes you feel in response.
Yeah. But I think the long distance can cause arguments in that because we text a lot and reading texts can be confusing because you can't tell how someone's saying something, the tone of their voice. So arguments have started kind of a few times where John can be very blunt and it's just because he's busy and I think he's just annoyed and he's saying it and I read it like he's annoyed in an annoyed tone, and I can start arguments.
Yeah, like if I'm at work or doing it one time or something, I'll sometimes give one or two word answers, and it'll come off very terse or, like she said, irritated. And then we'll have to discuss that. She'll have to explain why.
Why it came across that way.
Yeah, and I'll have to explain why I said it that way. And basically you have to talk everything through all the time. And I mean, that's probably good advice for relationships in general, but people don't do it because they don't have to. They find ways to weasel out of it, or they just find better things to do. But I think this long distance has actually helped us in that regard, because now we talk about everything.
Yeah, we know what annoys the other and how to word things, because in our relationship you have to word things well to try and not cause an argument.
Yeah, and sometimes it makes us admit things we wouldn't otherwise admit, or we're feeling petty or something. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I never used to be the type to kind of give in and admit when I was wrong.
Yeah.
But I do now.
And there will be times when I'm feeling lonely or insecure or something, and I'll realize that, and I'll tell her that I realize I'm being petty, or it's more about me than it is about her, but I am able to admit that to her so that we can figure out why I'm feeling that way, and then,
yeah,
and vice versa, and then get to the bottom of what's actually causing the problem.
Mm-hmm. So, and with the trust, with all relationships, you need to be able to trust each other. But long distance, you need to really trust them.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's going on.
And I've had problems with that in local relationships, but I've never really had a problem with that with you. I guess it's just because we're so open with each other that, like, we're able to make each other feel comfortable about that. Like,
yeah,
we know how we feel about each other.
I just trust you completely.
Yeah.
So
we're pretty amazing.
You need that.
Long distance ain't so tough. But
it's tough, but yeah.
Thank God.
You gotta make time for each other. That's the most important thing.
Find things that you can do together despite the distance. Like, that's one of the reasons we're doing this. It's something different, something fun. Just a little bit of a change of pace, so.
Send presents. That's what we do at birthdays, Christmas, Valentine's.
Yeah.
You send a little box.
Well, I usually visit you on Valentine's, but.
Oh, yeah.
And then we spend our anniversaries together, too, over the summer.
Yeah, and visit. If you do start visiting each other, it's good to kind of space it out throughout the year.
Yeah, I visit every winter.
And then I can go in the summer, yeah. And I can get longer off work. So, like, this summer, I'm going there for 2 months.
Yeah. So we usually spend about 10 weeks together each year. And thank God we've only got one more year till we're finally able to live together.
Hopefully, we're going to try to sort that out this summer.
Fingers crossed on visas and things like that. But one more year.
We'll keep you guys updated.
Yeah.
I'll probably write a blog about our visa troubles.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too tough, though.
No, hopefully not. We'll see.
All right.
It sounds very complicated.
Yeah, but hopefully it just sounds complicated.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
So I hope that helps, Sexy Toad. If there's anything else you wanted to ask us about it, if there's something we didn't mention, just let us know, and we'll try help.
Our next email comes in from Arcasia, from the Giant Bomb forums. Alright, so I went on a date with this girl I met online, and after getting over the thought of potentially getting murdered that day by someone I've never met before, I managed to show up and meet her, and we had an awesome day together. And I even came home to find some positive messages from her about how things went. The problem now is that I can't tell if she really wants to meet up again. Whenever I ask her about it, she seems pretty enthusiastic about getting together, but she always has some event planned. Pretty much any day we both have off work, or she happens to get stuck at work for extra hours and thus interrupts our plans. To be fair, our work schedules are both awful and make it extremely hard to meet up, but after a couple of weeks without getting to the second date, it must be a sign that's not happening, right?
Okay. I wouldn't say necessarily it's a sign that it's not happening. I mean, she was pretty enthusiastic, you know, he came home and had messages from her about how well it went. If she didn't think that, then she would try and play it down as soon as she can.
You don't think that would be her just being polite or anything like that?
No. I wouldn't say so. If I was on a date with someone and I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't leave them messages, like, not just the one, it says some positive messages. I wouldn't leave them
plural.
A few saying how much I enjoyed it and trying to give them false hope if I didn't think it was going anywhere.
I don't know. I mean, with the whole, I had a really nice time today, like, that's kind of just a generic, like, if that's what he's referring to as positive messages, I mean, that's just polite, I guess. That's manners.
If it was just that one saying, it was nice to meet you, I had fun, maybe. But if it was multiple messages saying what a great time she had, then I would say she was interested.
It does sound like she agreed to see him again because they keep making plans that she's breaking. But kind of the way I see it is if she really wanted to see him again, she would set something up. Like, she would say, like, after like multiple times where she's like, sorry, I can't make it today, or, oh, I'm working extra hours.
Yeah.
Or, oh, something else came up.
But you don't know that she's like saying that.
But
she could genuinely be working a lot of extra hours.
That's true. But if you're in that situation, then I would think that she would be like, but here's a day that does work for me, or here's a time that does. Like, yeah. She would go out of her way to set up a time where she knew she'd have no problem meeting up with them, I guess.
You don't know, though. I mean, he said that it's been hard because they both have busy schedules. So she might have said, oh, maybe this day, and he might be like, oh, I can't that day, that he hasn't mentioned, but I'm not sure. He says that both their work schedules are awful, so it makes it hard to meet up.
I think he would have mentioned, though, if she had reached out to him for a second date. So it kind of seems to me like he is putting all this effort, based off what he said, it sounds like he's putting all this effort into meeting her again, and she's not really meeting him halfway. Like, yeah. She's like, oh, that'd be nice, and then kind of brushes it off when other things come up. So, to me, it sounds like she liked him, but not enough to, like, force another meeting or another date.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to say because I just think she might just not know how to tell him, but maybe she really just can't find the right times to meet.
I don't know. I think if you really like someone, you don't let anything stand in the way. You make it clear that you're still interested, and you try to find some way to meet them regardless of the troubles. And he says he met her online, so if they met like on an online dating site, that kind of changes things a bit too. Because,
well, yeah.
Because girls on online dating sites are flooded with opportunities. They're always getting comments from guys or random people asking them out. Mm-hmm. Whereas guys, it's not really the same. Like, any girl on a dating website probably gets at least one email a day. Whereas guys can send out 20 and not even get like a, no thanks. So, yeah. To me, if they met on an online dating site, it sounds like they had a nice date and she did like him, but then maybe she went on a date with another guy and liked him more, and she's trying to see where that goes, or she has opportunities coming up. Yeah, this is just an example, a possibility. I'm not saying this is necessarily what happened.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of thing is common. We're like, oh yeah, you're nice, but then someone better came along.
I would say that she maybe did like him, and would like to meet him again, just doesn't like him enough to go out of her way to put other things off to meet him. But
yeah. So I guess in both of our opinions, there's some positive news in there for you, Arcasio. It seems like she did genuinely have a good time with you, so you're a decent date. You're a good date. It just seems like either because she found someone else or because she can't really make the scheduling work out, that it doesn't really seem like there's a future for you. Like, even if she wants to meet you again, the fact that she can't nail down a second date means you probably don't have much hope for
a proper relationship, yeah.
Yeah, like, even if you're both, like, really into each other, if you can't even meet up for a second date, how is it going to work long term?
Yeah.
So I guess just chalk it up as, oh, she did like me, but it's not going to work out, and try to use that to move forward with someone else.
Yeah, you've learned something from it, I guess.
Yeah, so...
But you never know, maybe in... it's only been a couple weeks.
A couple weeks, though, is a long time. After our first date.
Oh, no.
After our first date, if you don't see them again for a month, that's pretty much... it's over.
It depends, I guess, if they talk regularly.
It doesn't sound like they do, really, though.
Yeah.
I think it's... just cut your losses and... try to learn from the experience, and it might not be what you want to hear, but hopefully we helped out a little bit.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Good luck.
Yeah. Okay, the next question we actually got from the forums, it was a current thread by Contrary Gravitas, called "What Do You Do for a Friend That's Been Through a Divorce?" I'm sitting here thinking of things to say, things to do, and nothing I can come up with seems worthwhile. Personally, I think the girl he wasted a year with in this marriage doesn't deserve a second thought, but I can't just say that. I know he'll be alright eventually, but in the meantime, what the hell do I suppose to do? Or am I supposed to do? It seems like the usual... isn't going to cut it.
This is a tricky one. I've never experienced a divorce, obviously, and I hope you haven't either. Otherwise, you maybe haven't been as open with me as...
No.
But I think it's kind of just not dissimilar from like any major breakup for a friend.
Mm.
I think it's important that he pointed out that he can't just start bashing the girl, because that's just going to make the friend resent him, and I'm glad that he realizes that.
Yeah. I mean, there's no kind of context to it. We don't know how they broke up.
Yeah, there's always subtleties to a relationship that you can't really see from the outside.
Yeah.
But even if she was, like, a terrible person to him, like, treated him awful, he still was in love with her, obviously. He has to remarry him.
Mm-hmm.
So, even if, by all reasonable accounts, she was a terrible wife, and all she did was hurt him, his feelings are going to make him want to defend her when she's attacked. So, if a friend says something shitty about her, he's going to turn on the friend, not like be like, yeah, you're right, fuck her.
Yeah.
I guess really everyone kind of deals with grief differently. So I would say kind of just be there for him. Make sure that he knows that you care about him, and always be there to do something when he wants. Even if he's just like sitting around the house, like just go out there and hang out with him.
Yeah.
Don't push him into doing things he's not ready for. Don't push him into getting laid or something, going out and hooking up with someone.
No, definitely not.
That's the kind of thing people need to do on their own time. But just be there and be his friend, I guess. That's really all I can say. Do you have any? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've never had a friend that's gone through anything like that. I guess it is just be there if he needs someone to talk to. Let him know that you're there to talk to if he wants it. And just try not to dwell on it when you're around him. Don't just bring it up all the time.
Try to keep his mind off it, maybe.
Yeah, don't be like, how are you feeling today or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Distract him a bit.
Go in at like any normal day. Just be like, hey, you want to watch some TV? Want to play a game or something?
Yeah, play some Gears of War. Judgment.
Yeah.
Just came out. Play that. I haven't played it yet, but...
Hacking up some guys might help.
Yeah, he can refocus his anguish on chainsawing aliens in the stomach, so... Yeah. That sounds like good pain therapy for me.
But other than that, I mean, it completely depends on the person. Don't go getting drinks, I would say. Getting drunk isn't going to help him.
Yeah, that's only going to make things worse.
Yeah.
Drunken phone calls or stewing in his own misery or...
Oh, yeah, just make him more depressed, really. Mm-hmm.
Do you think girls handle breakups differently from guys?
Well, I don't really know how guys handle them.
For the most part, we either become really angry and aggressive or really inward and, like, mopey. Like
angry at the girl or at life or...
Just, yeah, everything. Just looking for a fight from every situation that you get into.
Some Have you guys been like that?
What?
Have you been like that?
No, I'm not much of a fighter. I'm more...
How have you usually reacted?
I guess of the two extremes, probably more the mopey kind, like staying by myself and just want to like get insular and like distract myself with games or movies and like not talk to my friends for a week or two.
Yeah.
Out of shame and get real emo. Write some heartbreak haikus. Listen to a lot of your kind of music. Like My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
Screamo.
I guess, I mean, I think girls do that, but and they talk to their friends about it. That's the only difference, I'd say. Like, they'll cry like the to their friends about it.
You just all gossip and cry and eat lots of ice cream while watching chick flicks.
Yeah, lots of hugging, and then let's pamper ourselves.
Yeah.
Really?
Do your nails and stuff.
Yeah. Let's have a girly night.
Strip off all your clothes down to your underwear and start whacking each other with pillows.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Well, if you ever get depressed, you can always do that with me.
Oh, thank you.
I'm here for you, Dawn.
Sweet of you. Yeah. Yeah, I don't really know what else to add other than being there for him.
Yeah, just take him out, not drinking, not in, like, social situations, but, like,
go see a movie,
go to a baseball game. Just give him things to do that'll get him doing anything besides obsessing over his divorce.
Yeah.
And that's really, I think, all you can do as a friend, just be there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. With that, I think we're going to call it a podcast for this week. If you have any questions about girls, games, or relationships, and you want our advice,
or if you have any thoughts or comments on the questions we've answered today,
feel free to shoot us a written or recorded email at giantbombxgal. That's giantbombxgal@gmail.com.
Or send a PM to Righteous86 or DuskBamp on the site.
And we'll try to help out as much as we can.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
And remember, if all else fails, fake your own death.